And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, and join the conversation.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Barthelemy, The Convert.
And this is our fourth installment of The Cradle and the Convert, and we hope you like us. If you do, tell a friend, and if you don't, tell us. You can reach us here in the studio, or
The phone's not hooked up if you're complaining.
You can check us out on Facebook. Leave us a message there about something you'd like for us to talk about, what you think we're doing right, what you think we're doing wrong. You can only leave so many characters.
Thank goodness.
Mark, what do you think the life of a parish priest is like? All prayer and incense and mass?
No, I think it's kind of like the guy at the circus that spins the plates. He's spinning one at this end and this end and this end and this end. And then
what a great analogy.
And then all of a sudden the other end starts to wobble and he's running back and forth all the time.
Well, we're going to find out because tonight we're joined by Father Joe Malloy, the pastor of Holy Family Parish here in Decatur. And he's going to inform us a little bit about his calling, his ministry, and his parish. So welcome, Father Joe.
Thank you very much, Dave and Mark. And
it's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
This is my parish priest, incidentally, who knows all my secrets, so...
Well,
I wish I could tell them.
Yeah.
But
I don't, because I know a few of them.
Yeah, probably some I haven't told. I've been waiting.
But people have imaginations; they can.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking that surely he'll have a sub one of these weekends when I go in there and I get rid of all of them I haven't told. You know.
Well, that's why I go on retreat.
You got to go clear out of town. That's a cradle for you. Always thinking forgiveness is forthcoming.
Watch it.
Yeah.
I'm a cradle too. So,
now see? There he goes, jumping on my questions. I didn't even get a chance to ask him. Father, how long have you been a parish priest?
I've been a priest 32 years. I was ordained May 28th, 1983.
Wow. That's longer than we were on the police department.
Well, Father, you don't even look 32 years old. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
I wish we were on television to back that up.
So, boy, I don't, because I've got a face for radio.
Yeah, there you go. Have you always been in the Springfield Diocese, Father?
Yes. I'm what they call incardinated into the Springfield Diocese. I have pledged loyalty to the diocese, so I cannot be transferred out of the Springfield Diocese unless there is an agreement between the bishop of the Springfield Diocese and another bishop. If I would want to transfer to Seattle, say, mm-hmm. Bishop Papraki here would have to let me go, if you will, and then I would need to be picked up by Archbishop Tartens out there.
I'll be darned.
That's different, though, if I would want to, say, study or teach maybe at a college. I could be kind of put on loan, but I would still be part of the Springfield Diocese, teaching outside of the diocese or ministering outside of the diocese, but still be part of Springfield.
Now, do I recall from past conversations that you did, in fact, teach at the seminary?
No, I taught 5 years of high school.
Oh, high school.
When I was first ordained.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, high school. Wow, right here in the diocese.
Mm-hmm. I was ordained in 83, and I was an associate pastor at St. Aloysius Parish in the north end of Springfield.
Okay.
Just a couple blocks down from the Illinois State Fair. And I was assigned to teach religion and be the chaplain at Ursuline Academy in Springfield, which is now closed, run by the Ursuline Sisters.
Was that on account of you?
No.
The sisters packed up and left? You were
yes, no.
Oh, okay.
This was way after I left.
Oh, I see.
Okay. It was wonderful. I taught 3 years, several classes. Of religion, and kids were just wonderful, and so was the whole staff at Ursuline Academy. Kind of interesting. The drama teacher and one of the English teachers at St. Teresa High School here in town, Mary Davis, used to be Mary Madeiri. I knew her because she taught at Ursuline Academy when I did. And when I came into town, I kept looking at her, and she came up and she goes, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Well, you look familiar. I'm Mary Davis," which didn't mean anything. She goes, "I'm Mary Madeiri." I said, "Oh, my gosh." So small world that we taught together at Ursuline. And then I was transferred after 3 years to, which then was St. Mary's Parish in Quincy, which is now called Blessed Sacrament. And I taught for 18 months at Quincy Notre Dame High School, religion.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, then you did a little teaching, it sounds like.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I really did. Kids were great.
Now, were you a Jesuit?
No. Just no. I'm a diocesan.
Right.
No, okay. I don't have enough schooling to be a Jesuit.
Okay.
They're in school till they're 80.
No, I don't want to do that. Good grief. We already said you were a cradle and not necessarily a convert. So where did your faith inspiration come from as you grew up?
Oh, well, that's easy. Definitely my parents.
Okay.
My parents were very faith-filled and not in an over way, if you will, but we never missed Mass. We prayed together at home. faith was part of our lives. And also I just saw them in their interactions with others put that faith into practice. And so that really, really inspired me.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I didn't have that environment, but Davis had a similar experience.
Yeah, we talked about that. That I was like that. I was afraid to miss Mass, it seemed like, mm-hmm. Had the respect for my parents that I went to Mass and really learned to get to go to Mass instead of having to go to Mass. And I think maybe some of the cradle Catholics are that way, and others, we have difficulty finding them now. The most members of the Catholic Church are in some of the mega churches here in the area, then hopefully this show is kind of something to bring a few of them back.
Well, we'd hope so anyway.
That would be great.
It sure would.
Yes.
Father, at your 25th Jubilee, I remember you talking about your birth, and your father had presented you to your mother. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what he said? I thought this was really poignant.
Well, it's very touching. My dad was always, if you will, not psychic, but he would just say things and they would come true. He would say, I'm going to sink this 50-foot putt on the green, and sure enough, it would go in. Not every time, but many times. And so, and I did not know this until the ordination day. My mom gave birth to me, and then when I was all cleaned up, Dad had me in his arms, and he was giving me to my mom, and he said, Lou, her name is Lucia, Lou, here's little Father Joe.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mom said, what? And he goes, here's little Father Joe. He's going to be a priest. And she made him promise and swear, do not ever, ever tell him, because I don't want him to be influenced. Like, that's what we want. And so never, ever, ever was that story told me until the day of my ordination. And my dad says, I'm going to tell you something. And oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. And I said to Mom, was that true? And she said, every word.
Wow.
And it just sends chills up. And I said, oh my gosh, Dad. Dad would have been a wonderful priest. And his mom wanted him to be a priest.
Ah.
And Dad had to work two jobs before school and three after. He didn't have time. And he said, don't worry, Mom, to his mom, don't worry, I'll get you a priest. And, when he told me that, I said, well, Dad, I'm really glad you weren't one because I wouldn't be here, in that sense. So it's just, God rest his soul.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, really, that's a true, true story.
It's like a prophecy.
Yes, truly, yeah, it was. And I just, yes.
So they never pushed you towards the priesthood or never recommended or?
No. My mom and dad always told me, they said, if you want to be a priest, if you want to be whatever.
Oh, okay.
Just try to be the best you can be at whatever you're doing. And they never pushed me, they never dissuaded me, of course. They were always behind me. I had support from the very first moment of the seminary all the way to ordination to this day. And not every priest, every guy in the seminary can say that.
Yeah, I suspect so.
Yes.
That's an amazing story, to be have a father that could see that in a child and then look at you today, all these years of being a parish priest.
These are moments after birth, even.
God,
isn't that something? And in those days, they didn't know if you were a boy or a girl until came out.
Oh, thank gosh I was a boy. Because my dad, he just knew I was going to be a boy. So my dad, being the person he was, so outgoing or gregarious, he bet anybody it's going to be a boy. And like you say, those days, they had no idea. So it's going to be a boy. And my mom says, I was so nervous because it would take us 10 years to get out of hock from all Dad was. She goes, I was so glad you were a boy.
That's but a golfer he, for you. They're
yeah,
always
that's right.
You
bet it. Yeah. He would bet everybody. Yeah,
that's right.
I was going to be a boy.
Well, Father Joe, here on our show, we're going to start a new little segment called Just a Minute, Father. And it's we're going to give the local priests a 1 or 2 minute homily. And we're going to start that this evening with you. And we're going to ask you, Just a Minute, Father.
Okay. All right. This is based on the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. So many restaurants advertise that they provide for a certain price all you can eat, and this draws many into their establishment. For one price, you can keep going back and back to fill your plates and stomachs. Families and big eaters love this. It is a good deal for them to do this. In today's Gospel, we hear about the feeding of 5,000 people by Jesus. He worked that miracle with a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish, and the throng of hungry people had more than enough to eat. They retreated to an all-you-can-eat meal by Jesus. They were fully full with the food provided them by Jesus. What about us when we gather at the Eucharist? That Jesus of the gospel will once again work a miracle and provide himself to us as we come forward, hungry to be fed. And we will receive Jesus, that one who totally fills us up. We are so privileged to be fully sated with the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We have enough to eat, thanks to the Lord who feeds us. Our challenge is to go forth from each Mass, each day, wherever we are, and continue the feeding we have experienced and received. Will others get enough of Jesus from our feeding and nourishing them with the body and blood of Christ we receive here? Will they be treated to all the Jesus they could possibly be hungry for?
That's beautiful, Father. Thanks. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here on The Cradle and the Convert, and we'll be right back after this word from CatholicsComeHome.org.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Okay, Catholics Come Home, great TV spots. You know, they even show some of those during sporting events and last year during the Super Bowl. And it's amazing when they talked about 7 billion Catholics, you know, in the world. So back to you, Mark.
Welcome back, Decatur Catholic Radio. You're listening to WDCR 88.9 FM, and we're interviewing Father Joe Molloy. Father, we were just having a discussion about your early days and some of your just basically your teaching assignments, this is as far as we got so far. But tell us a little bit about your time in the seminary. How what did you study, and where did you go, and how tough were the classes?
All right. I was in the seminary for 7 years. I went to St. Louis University right after I graduated from Alton Marquette High School in Alton. And then I went to a year, I said, at SLU. And then I said, well, I think I'll try a year of the seminary because I didn't know if I wanted to be a priest. Mm-hmm. I thought I'll try a year there. I would have a year of college at SLU, and then I would decide. So I went to, at that time, the Diocesan Seminary, which was in Springfield, out on the lake, on East Lake Drive. And that was a two-year seminary for those coming right out of high school, or if you were what they called a special student, meaning you already had your college degree, you would need to go there for a year in order to have enough theology and philosophy to get into your last 4 years of study.
See.
So I went there for a year. I went in as a second-year student.
Okay.
So I spent just 1 year there, and then I went to, at that time, Cardinal Glennon College Seminary in St. Louis, which was, a college seminary. I finished my third and fourth year, and I graduated with a degree in philosophy and a minor in history. And then I went to 4 years of Kenrick Seminary in St. Louis.
Okay.
They're on the same grounds. Now they are combined. It's Kenrick Glennon. And so it's different now than when I went. So I was in the seminary for 7 years.
Wow. Great.
And the classes, some were very tough. But those were the classes that you really learned.
Yeah. Sure.
I remember one, an Old Testament course taught by Father Reibolt. This was in it was really, really difficult. This was our first year of theology. And he would just give like one or two lines from the prophet Isaiah, and you had to say what chapter it came from what context and all that. Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. But I know Isaiah, that's for sure. But it was really, really tough. But it was, and the classes were really good. You had sisters, you had laymen, you had obviously priests, which were diocesan priests from St. Louis, or Vincentian fathers. They were St. Vincent de Paul, started the Congregation of the Missions. Their kind of name, really, are the Vincentians from St. Vincent de Paul. And they staffed the seminary. And so the classes were really good. And like I said, some were tough in the, but, you know, people think, oh my gosh, that's 7 years. That's a long time. It really isn't, because you have so much to learn, and you just get sometimes a little smattering of this and smattering of that. You could be in there for 20 years and not learn everything.
I'm sure.
But they give you the tools.
Kind of sounds like the police academy, doesn't it?
Well, you know, Father, while you were down at SLU, I'm surprised they didn't try to recruit you to become a Jesuit.
Well, that's true. That's true. No.
It wasn't happening.
Community life isn't for me. I said that on the air. Okay. Yes, it isn't. So don't worry, Bishop Rocky. I'm not going to leave.
Yeah, wait till your next assignment comes down, right. Mike. Well, we're not going to let the bishop take you. He doesn't know that, but we're not ready for you to go anywhere. Now, tell me a little bit about where you were assigned outside of the high schools and so forth, your first parish assignment, and to bring us up to date.
My first assignment was 1983 at St. Aloysius Parish in Springfield, and the pastor there was Father Bob Franzen, who was a brother of Father Ray Franzen, who began Holy Family. Yeah. And so I knew Father Ray Franzen through Father Bob, my first pastor. I was there until 1986, and then I was transferred to, at that time, as I said, St. Mary's Parish in Quincy. The pastor there was Father Ken Venverlo, and I stayed there until January the 8th, 1988. I was teaching high school, and we had a deacon there. His name was Stephen Janowski, who is now Father Stephen Janowski, a good friend of mine. And he was the deacon there, living there for 6 months. And so I had just told him, this was the day after New Year's, and Father Venvelo, the pastor, was on retreat, so it was just Stephen and myself. I said, boy, this is great. I'm all caught up at school. Everything is graded. I got all the classes planned for the next couple of weeks. Everything here is fine. It's just a great feeling. 25 minutes later, I get a call from Father Tracy, who used to be the pastor at St. Thomas, who was head of the personnel board at that time. He goes, Bishop Ryan wants you to be at Newton, St. Thomas in Newton this Friday. I said, for what? And he goes, well, the pastor there is having a double hip replacement, and you need to fill in there for 6 months. I said, where's Newton? I didn't even know where it was. And he goes, so you'll do it? I said, well, I don't know. I said, do I have to make a decision right now? I said, I'm teaching high school. I said, you have overnight. Call him at 9:30. So I called Bishop Ryan at 9:30 the next morning, having no idea what I would say. And so Bishop Ryan was so congenial and he said, well, that's open and we really need you there right away. So there's some continuity there. And I said, do you want me to do it? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, then I'll do it. Because that's the promise of obedience.
Right.
And so I said, but I'm teaching. Yeah, you just tell the principal there that come Friday,
you're gone.
And the principal and I were, let's say, not the closest of people. But anyway, so it was kind of like, I couldn't wait to get in there and just say, hey, it's our Friday. And she was like, what do you mean? I said, that's what the bishop called the bishop. He's the one that's doing it. So I left on Friday, and people were coming to drop their kids off at school, and I was leaving, and they had no idea. I had to go back to have a going away party.
Oh my gosh!
Because I got the call on Sunday, and that was the best decision, second best decision. First decision was to come to Holy Family.
Right.
But it was great. I went there. I'd never been on a farm in my entire life. I was 31.
They have a couple of those.
A few. And it was great. I went there on a Friday night. That's why they moved people on Monday or Tuesday, never on a Friday, because you have to have mass. You don't know where the bathroom is yet,
right.
And you have mass the next day, and it's like, oh my gosh! But it all worked out. But at that time, Newton was 4.5 hours away from Quincy.
Wow!
I thought I had at least passed three state lines, but we kept going and going. I said, we're still in the diocese.
It's a huge diocese.
It is. It really is.
It goes from border to border.
Yes, it really does. But it was great. It was really a lot of fun. Newton was tremendous. They really, really took me under their wing. And this little kid coming in, 31, and they were wonderful. And what happened was he did have double hip replacement, but wasn't able to come back. So then I was made pastor.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
I stayed there for 14 more years. So I was there 14 and a half years until I came to Holy Family. And I'd heard about Holy Family being open, and I knew it was a great parish. And so it was a great decision. I love it here.
Good.
But, Newton will always be in my heart, as will Holy Family.
Sure. And actually, we've got the altar from Newton.
Correct.
I remembered that when it came.
Yes. They have a new church building. And so they were going to have the altar, and I said, oh. So I bid on that and got it. It's great.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Father, before we get off the air here today, explain to me about, you're the dean of the Decatur Deanery, right?
Correct.
Okay, now, so what is a dean exactly, and how do you get that position, and what are the duties?
And what is the, how big is the deanery?
Yeah. Okay, the Diocese of Springfield is split up, if you will, into seven deaneries, seven smaller pockets. And so, and over each of the deaneries is what they call a dean. And sometimes you may people say, what's that very Reverend Joseph Molloy, comma, VF? VF is Vicar for Rain. That's the canonical, the church term for dean. And you're a very Reverend. That's just the title that goes with it. And a dean is in charge, if you will, of the deanery, meaning you have to check the sacramental records, and any financial records and the facilities every other year of the parishes in your deanery. So I have to do that for the Decatur Deanery.
So that's some traveling.
Yes, that is Tuscola, Arcola, Paris, way over in Shelbyville, Moquegua, all the ones here, of course, Sullivan.
Okay.
And so, and then you have to interview the pastors and the priests once a year to see how they're doing. You know, have they had a physical? What about retreat? Because the bishop then wants to know how each priest is doing. If there is a concern in the deanery, many times that goes to the dean to look into. If there's a problem in a parish or a concern with the priest, the bishop will say, please go and, you know, moderate that meeting or find out about that, that priest. And so there are seven deaneries, as I said, and Decatur is one. Decatur deanery is the most expansive mile-wise.
I recall that from when we were serving on that committee of predicting the future.
Oh, yes.
The parishes and so forth.
Yes, because it goes all, like I said, you know, almost 2 hours away is Paris.
Right.
So, So, yeah, and that's...
So who, did Bishop appoint you to that?
Yes, he did.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Was that another thing you want to do this, or did you just say, oh,
well,
I'm quite honored?
He said that they were having a dean's meeting, and the dean, the former dean, Father Dave Zimmerman, who is in Paris, Illinois, he was the former dean, and he wanted to resign from that due to his age. And they said they had the dean's meeting, and the bishop said, we talked about it, and your name came up, and the other deans thought it would be good, and so do I. Would you do it? And I said, yes, I'll do it. And he goes, you will? And I said, did I give the wrong answer?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, some thought you might not do it. I said, no, I'll do it. And wow. I said, I'd be very honored to do it.
Great.
So that's how it came.
Wow. And I suppose there's a big fat paycheck that goes along with that, like you priests get paid exorbitantly.
About as much as you get for serving daily mass.
Okay. Well, you should ask for a raise then. What's one last final question? What's the toughest thing you ever had to do as a priest?
Probably one of the toughest things I've ever had to do was preside at the funeral of a 16-year-old 2 weeks before I came here.
Oh, my.
He and five of his friends were killed in an auto accident right outside of Newton.
Oh, my.
And this kid was just the greatest kid in the world. Just their perfect kid, 16 years old, and he was in Carl for about 5 days, and I went up there and was at his bedside, and then, you know, when they say priests aren't affected, they are. I remember coming home and just literally one of the first times my weeping.
Yeah.
I mean, uncontrollably, because I said, it's not fair. You know, here's a kid who's fighting for his life, and he was getting a lot better, and then he took a turn for the worse and died. And having his funeral was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
People don't realize, you know, we've talked many times about the police and people perceived we're not really human. We don't have emotions or feelings or so on and so forth. And I don't think people realize the toll that the cumulative toll that that type of diet of funeral, and especially when you're assigned to a parish a good while and watch people as they age or they come down with disease, and just how cumulative those effects can be, you know, over time, and how tough a person and how faithful a person you have to be to see your way through that. So, well, Mr. Engineer, Cradle Engineer.
I'm the guy. Hey, Father, thanks so much for joining us this evening. It's been very enlightening, entertaining.
Absolutely.
Would you like to lead us in a closing prayer, and maybe we can do the prayer to St. Michael?
Okay, sure. And I just want to say thank you very much to you, Mark, and to you, Dave. And congratulations on this show. This is wonderful. This is what Decatur needs.
Well, we're having fun with it, and that's what it's all about.
That's
great. Learning as we go. So we do need prayers. We need St. Gabriel, the archangel, the patron of Catholic radio, to be right in here with us.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm sure he is.
We'll just pray the St. Michael prayer. Yeah. St. Michael, the archangel,
defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Name the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, that wraps it up for this week, kids. Join us next week when our guest will be Ed Smith, the newly appointed Executive Director of the Decatur-Macon County Habitat for Humanity. For me, Dave Slade.
And for me, Mark Bartholomew.
We want to thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night, Joe.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring. Oh, me.